From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Voters in South Carolina are making their choice for GOP presidential nominee today. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, Newt Gingrich has surged toward the front of the pack and appears to have made it a two-man race.
Some polls show the former House Speaker could actually win today's primary. It's perhaps an unlikely rise to the top after his senior staff quit en masse just as his campaign was getting off the ground back in June. Then, in a matter of weeks late last year, he rose to the top of the polls, only to tumble back down just as quickly. In recent days, Gingrich has argued he is the only viable conservative alternative to former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Not one to shy away from bold predictions, Gingrich says if he wins South Carolina, he will be the Republican nominee. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Columbia, South Carolina.
Later this hour, Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich will likely come face to face. They are both scheduled to campaign at the same restaurant. It's called Tommy's Ham House, and it's in the GOP stronghold of Greenville, South Carolina. Overseas in Egypt, final election results show an Islamist group, the Muslim Brotherhood, winning 38% of the vote on party lists for Egypt's parliament. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro is in Cairo. She has details.
So the final results of Egypt's parliamentary elections for the lower house have come out, and they're not surprising. They confirm what we already know, which is the party of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Freedom and Justice Party, basically swept the elections. They got some 47% of the vote. They were followed by the Noor Party, that's the hardline Islamist party. They got some 25% of the vote, which means that Islamists of two different stripes will control some 70% of the new body.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro in Cairo. The chief of the Islamic militant group Hamas has decided not to seek re-election. Khaled Mashal has led the group since 1996, nearly twice as long as permitted under Hamas rules. Firefighters in Reno, Nevada spent last night putting out hotspots from a 3,200-acre wildfire just south of the city. Kate McGee with member station KUNR reports the cause of the blaze has been determined, and officials estimate the cost at this point is approaching $700,000.
Officials say an elderly man admitted he started the fire when he improperly discarded fireplace ashes. The man said within minutes flames had erupted. The fire damaged 41 structures and 32 were entirely destroyed. Most of the structures were homes. Governor Brian Sandoval toured the burned area.
There's nothing left in some of those places except for the chimneys and the fireplaces.
The governor says FEMA has approved a grant that will cover 75% of the cost. Officials estimate the total cost will be in the millions. For NPR News, I'm Kate McGee in Reno.
And you're listening to NPR News. Divers are heading back inside the submerged portion of that stricken cruise ship off Tuscany after indications that the vessel has stabilized. They blasted more holes in the hull today to make it easier to enter and leave as they search for some 21 people still missing. The search was suspended yesterday over fears the ship might roll off a rocky ledge and plunge deeper into the sea. With White House rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline, Canada says it's looking at alternatives for exporting its oil. But Canadian officials say they are still optimistic that the project will eventually go through. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, that could include building a segment of the proposed pipeline that would not require State Department approval.
Political and industry leaders in Canada say the fact that President Obama's decision was not based on the merits of the proposal is a signal that there is still an opportunity there. Now TransCanada, which proposed the Keystone Pipeline, says it's considering building it in segments, the first one connecting an existing pipeline in Oklahoma to the refineries in Texas. U.S. officials have said building the pipeline in sections could speed up the process as long as it didn't cross the U.S.-Canada border, which would involve the U.S. State Department. Meanwhile, Ottawa is pushing hard for another pipeline from Alberta to the Canadian West Coast. That would allow for overseas shipments of Alberta oil to Asian markets. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Tens of thousands in the Pacific Northwest are still without power after a winter storm that brought snow, ice, and strong winds this week. Temperatures are expected to warm today, so now officials are also concerned about flooding. And rescuers are hoping for better weather today after a blizzard kept them from searching for four people missing on Washington State's Mount Rainier. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.